Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 171 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is in you, and this is program 273. Now, if you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program how you can receive either a CD or a audio tape. It's absolutely free, including shipping and handling. And you can ask for the Messiah book as well, and that's everything's free. And, you know, especially if you don't have any money, and the Bible is even free for you. And we have some testimonials today and some real good singing and a fabulous message from God. And so right now let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, I thank You for every time that I pray to You, that You hear and answer. Not only when I pray to You, but anyone that prays to You sincerely, You hear them, and You will answer them and show them great and mighty things that they've not seen before. Lord, I pour out Your Spirit. Guide us in this message, this everything that's done on this tape today, that's people out in the radio land will understand, open their understanding, open wisdom unto them, and let them receive knowledge from Your word. Because wisdom is the principal thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And Jesus, You are the wisdom, the power, and the wisdom of God. And we know that the entire book of Proverbs talks about the wisdom of You. This book is, and the entire Bible is our guide as to how we're to live a life, a glorious, overcoming life, in a not glorious world that's full of darkness. This word of Yours, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is our lamp so that we can see clearly into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we ask that You save souls and strengthen the church, all of us, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, Elvis Presley's favorite singing group was the Golden Gate Quartet. And we have some songs here that you're going to hear from them. And this is an old Southern black gospel group. And they're my favorite also. And this one is called Swing Down, Sweet Chariot. This is where Elvis got his arrangement to sing Swing Down, Sweet Chariot.
Swing low.
Swing.
Well, they say go,
about in the middle of a field. He said he saw an angel with a chariot wheel. He wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. He just wanted to see how the chariot feels.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot stopping? Let me ride.
Swing down, chariot stopping. Let me ride. Rock me, Lord. Rock me, Lord. Come and easy.
Down and got on board. The chariot went bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping of the road. He just wanted to lay down his heavy load.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot stopping? Let me ride.
Swing down, chariot stopping. Let me ride. Rock me, Lord. Rock me, Lord. Come and easy.
In the promised land,
I won't stop until the Sheik is a hand.
So rock me, Lord, come and easy. I got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot stopping? Let me ride.
Swing down, chariot stopping. Let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord.
Come and easy. I got a home on the other side.
Praise the Lord. Those of us who are born again of the Spirit have a home on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
Those of us that are born again of the Spirit are sitting with Christ in heavenly places right now. All right, we have, it's so wonderful. Well, one thing I'd like to tell you that there's something in the newspaper today that I'd like Michelle just to read a bit of it. It has to do with the Episcopalian Church. I put out a piece of literature. They came down here for some kind of a convention to see if the elders of the church were going to put up $500,000 for the Episcopalian Church, which is a division of the Vatican. And because of a piece of literature that I put out, they refused to back them up because what they had done is put a homosexual over the church, and this is an abomination unto the Lord. But so I have to applaud them today for making a stand so far as it has being against homosexuality, but they went from the pot into the frying pan and also joined another division of the Vatican. So read just a little bit of it.
December 17th, 2006.
In other words, that's today. This is December the 17th, 2006. We just got this out of the press. Okay, read it.
Two parishes bolt from Episcopal Church. More may follow in fight over gay relationships. By Matthew Barakat.
You know, these people aren't gay. You know, gay used to mean happy. They're the saddest people I've ever seen. Some of them have come and say, we need to have this demon cast out of us, because they really don't like the way that people feel towards them, and the Word of God feels against them, because God is not going to let a homosexual or a lesbian into heaven. That's just as plain as it is, as it can be. Okay, go ahead.
Fairfax, Virginia. Two of the most prominent and largest Episcopal parishes in Virginia voted overwhelmingly Sunday to leave the Episcopal Church and join fellow Anglican conservatives forming a rival denomination in the U.S. Truro Church in Fairfax and the Falls Church in Falls Church. They plan to place themselves under the leadership of Anglican Archbishop Peter Ankinola of Nigeria, who has called the growing acceptance of gay relationships a, quote, satanic attack, unquote, on the church.
Okay, that's all. There's a whole article you could read. Where was that in?
On the AOL News.
AOL News. You can find it there and read the entire article. And there's a little bit of the literature that I wrote and distributed when they came into town. Go ahead and read it.
Good morning. Warning from God to all Episcopalians. Topic, homosexuality. Reference from God Almighty.
And when did I write this? back in 2003.
Yes.
What does it have the date in 2003?
It says July, August 2003.
Yeah, that's when they came into town with that convention. And I wrote this overnight. I mean, just like in one day, really. And then we went to the editing department and then to the printing it up. Okay, then what does it say?
Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
Not just homosexuality, but all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And you can read the Bible and find out what that is. Now, God is not a kidder. He's not kidding around. If you're a false accuser, if you're a liar, if you're twisting things, and if you think you're having fun with the people of the Lord by persecuting them, or if you think it's smart to be a homosexual or to agree with them, you're guilty by association. You're going to hell in the lake of fire, unless you repent, okay? Then what?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Yeah, there's so many of them, like in the Episcopalian Church. They hold the truth. They have Bibles in their hands, but they're holding it in unrighteousness. They're saying that homosexuals are going to heaven, and this is deceiving homosexuals. Would this be a friend of the homosexual to say you're going to heaven if you remain a homosexual? No, that isn't a friend of yours. What it is your biggest enemy, because they're leading you to believe that you're going to be able to get into heaven and stay out of hell in the burning lake of fire by just remaining a homosexual. But you have to make a change. You have to deny yourself and take up the cross. Some of you may say that we were born homosexuals. Well, that's the reason why you need to be born again of the Spirit. Jesus said you must be born again because we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so that's why all of us have to be born again. A little helpless child could be in a crib, and this demon of homosexuality could enter in them and actually make them to believe that they were born that way. Now, homosexuality is nothing that you're born into. It's a demon possession. The devil knows that some of you people that are homosexuals or lesbians, that God's fate that he has planned for you would be to be one of the biggest soul winners in the world. And so Satan knows that, and so what he did is enter into your little crib when you were just, still nursing on your mother or drinking a bottle of whatever, milk of some kind, and you were helpless. And, to me, this would make me hate Satan more than anything in the world, to attack me like when I'm a helpless kid. I remember when I was around a year and a half to 2 years old, I was going down the stairs in Joplin, Missouri, where I was born. And I felt this it was like a spiritual torpedo come into me. My dad wanted to watch me. He thought it would be cute to give me a dollar bill and send me to the little store in a house right across the little lawn at the bottom of the steps. And we lived in the upper apartment. And so as I'm going down the stairs here, this wicked thing hit me, and it was shocking. I knew very well that this was something very wicked. I felt wicked, and it put it in my mind to take the change and hide it under the carpet, the mat down at the end of the stairs, and to lie. So I got about 50 cents back change. It was a 50-cent piece. Back then we had real money, silver dollars, and everything was silver instead of tin and whatever they're making this stuff out of today, monopoly money. And then when I got the little box of farmer matches and whatever it was that my dad wanted was in a bag, and when I got to the going to start up the steps, I put the 50 cents under the mat. Now, what a little year and a half year old kid is going to do with the money? And I just had my diapers on, my dad's slippers. A big time Charlie, I'm going to go to the Copacabana with that 50 cent piece. Okay? And I started going up the stairs, and my dad says, "Where's the change?" And I didn't know, but he was watching me all the time. And I said, what change? This is Satan took advantage of me because he wanted me dead, because he knew I'd be one of the people, maybe one of the most predominant people, to put the gospel out as it really is in the last days. And so I know now to say that so that people can tell that how the devil hits people when they're young. And so I was a sinner at the age of a year and a half to 2 years old. If my life would have been taken, I came to the age of accountability at a year and a half to 2 years old. And if the Lord would have pulled the breath out of my body, I would have been in hell. But thank God he let me live and be saved at the age of 30 in 1964. And I've been serving the Lord since. And the devil keep trying to get into you. And if you ever let him in again, he'll take seven devils with you, seven more wicked than the one that was originally cast out of you. And then it will be impossible for you to be reinstated with the Lord. Okay, so this is talking about homosexuals. I don't hate them. I hate the sin, just like God does. But I will, and anyone that will join them or have anything to do with them, with the exception of witnessing to them, is guilty by association. You're not even to wish these people Godspeed. And then you've got the President of the United States inferring homosexuality. And so, you know, a fine example he is. There's an article in a magazine. This magazine is called what?
Harper's Bazaar.
Okay, it's Harper's Bazaar, and what this month's issue, isn't it? December?
November.
It's the November issue, and it's got an article in there. What is this? It's got President Bush and Tony Blair from England inferring that both of them are homosexuals. And they've got Bush here saying, my little Tony. Do you want to read a little of this? Now, what kind of example is President Bush of this nation? That's why God said for us to not have any king over us that isn't under the law of God. Now, President Bush, if he's a homosexual, and his there's articles we have here stating that his mother said, listen, you get your hands off your hips, you little what?
Sissy pants.
You little sissy pants, and get me a bourbon or a scotch on the rocks. Now go and get it for me, she said. And there's also articles where she sent him to a school to try to get rid of his homosexuality. And here he is, about a 4 or 5 page article, maybe a 6 page article in Harper's Bazaar, November, showing them real close. What does that say at the front there?
My little Tony. We knew they were close, but not how close. We knew who was in charge, but not to what extent. As these exclusive shots of George W. Bush and Tony Blair prove, the special relationship goes deeper than anyone imagined. In the dying months of his 10-year premiership, we reveal, through photographs captured exclusively by artist Alison Jackson and emails intercepted by Rory Bremer, the intimate moments of the PM's Texas holiday.
Okay, and it shows them, you know, they've got their vital parts covered up, but it shows them in the nude, you know. And let's see, where is that picture here? Is this it?
Yes.
What page is that?
Page 193.
Okay, so is it any wonder why, you know, people that are the heads of the government, of course you'd have to be a homosexual in order to be given an opportunity by the Vatican to become the President of the United States, and Tony Blair to be the Chancellor or whatever he is over in England. The Me Oh My Club. Okay, well, anyway, I'm just saying this. Obviously, they're not embarrassed about it, but they will be not only embarrassed, but scared out of their wits when they reach the judgment bar of God, because God is going to definitely say, you knew the truth, and you chose to be this way. Your body was, I made them for me to live in and for you to live a holy and chaste life. And you know by the examples from the Old Testament where I destroyed, barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah and all those homosexuals and other sinners there. And you didn't pay any attention to that as though I changed. And my word says I change not. Now, I'm not doing this because I want to embarrass you. You're not embarrassed about that at all. It seems like you like to exalt homosexuality. I'm saying this for your soul's sake. You're not going to live long. Did you guys know that? Are you, what, sissies? If your mother calls you sissy, can't I? And you're going to stand before the Lord. And then you won't think you're so smug or smart with it. You know, eternity is a long time, Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush, and it's not going to feel good in the bowels of hell. If you think it's going to feel good, you know, stick your feet in the oven or get your fingers on top or lay your face down on the jets of a fire and see how good that feels. I have enough sense to know that that doesn't feel good. It does not feel good. But anyway, let's continue with this homosexual church, the Episcopalians. Go ahead.
Because that which may be known of
God. This is what I wrote here. Okay, but this is, we're reading a scripture from the Bible, which is in Romans, first chapter.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them.
See, God has shown that to everybody in the world, that homosexuality is wrong. And so everybody's just defying God, thumbing their nose at him like they're not going to have to die. Has anybody been alive for more than 150 years that you know of lately?
No.
No. And President Clinton, of course, he's not that way. He goes the other way. He got a sex problem. And also all those Catholic priests molesting those little boys. Now, the Cult Awareness Network, which is telling all kinds of lies about me, they were destroyed by my attorney, Eric Lieberman, in New York City. we're hiring him to go after them again, because what they're doing is inciting a bunch of ignoramuses in small towns and other places in the country to try to stop people from believing the word of God that I'm preaching. And they don't know me, none of them have met me, but they're just believing what the Cult Awareness Network preaches and different cults, other cults. The Cult Awareness Network is one branch of the Vatican, and the Vatican recruits all these different cult organizations like the ACLU and the Cult Awareness Network and different Protestant churches, and they think I'm one of these Protestant churches or a denomination. No, I'm a born-again Christian. I believe that religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. You are not able to go into the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell and the lake of fire by belonging to a denomination. You must be born again in the Spirit. Jesus said so. All right?
Amen.
These are the same people that are spreading around that Jesus did all kinds of promiscuous things. He didn't really die on the cross and all sorts of things like that. And what they are is demons. We're living in the war of Armageddon. This is a war between God and Satan for the soul of man. And so what we have to do is get to the root. All this is coming from Rome. Even the Episcopalians and the Lutherans. The Lutherans, Martin Luther was a Catholic. And then he broke away from it. But he rejoined it again. It's still a branch of the Vatican. They're anti-Semitic. Any born-again Christian could never be anti-Semitic because we have to bow down before the world's greatest Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody has to if they're going to get into heaven. And if you're anti-Semitic, you're out of your mind. You're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're spiritually crazy. You're committing spiritual suicide to be anti-Semitic. Now, do I like every Jew? No, I don't, but I sure love the Lord.
Amen.
And I love the Christians, both Jew and Gentile, because the Gentile that's born again has become a spiritual Jew. And, you know, people have to really not just read the Word, but you have to study it and get into the depth of it. The Word of God is deep. And I've been into it very deeply, and there's many things that I know, and I'm still learning every day. And so write me or call me, and if you have any questions. Okay, so read more, read it fast. These are scriptures. You can just go to the first chapter of Romans and read it. Go ahead really fast now.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. This means they don't allow God to display his power over their flesh.
And it doesn't, over their flesh, and over sin, Satan, and the world. And what?
By his living in them, which would keep them from committing such super sinful abominations as homosexuality. God is given glory when we say, quote, no to the tempter's temptations. But they're refusing to give glory to God. They falsely project to the world that God is an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Quote, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly.
Okay, what is the natural use of man and woman? The natural use of a woman is for her to have children. And there's such a bunch of liars in the world. The Antichrist is saying that there's not enough room, there's not enough food. The government destroys more food every year than the people in the world use. There's enough food in the United States of America alone to feed all the hungry people in Europe. And in Africa and India, you can see them plowing under huge fields of potatoes and corn and they kill off the cattle and everything. Well, they could slaughter them and send them overseas. And the government pays billions of dollars for them to not grow food, the farmers. Okay, so continue on.
And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters.
And if you ever notice, that's what homosexuals do. They're liars, they're backbiters, they're catty. It's a demon spirit. You know, they're men, and they're acting like silly, catty women. You know? Oh, really, Mary? And all this kind of stuff. You know, it's really high kick. And I'll have another glass of Cherokee George. It's so nauseating, and they don't realize it because it's a demon possession. Okay? And it's filthy. Go ahead, continue.
Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Unquote.
I guess, you know, President Bush and this Tony Blair, his little Tony, they think, you know, they see the movies about Caligula and everything. Here they're sitting in very high places, and they figure, oh, we'll be like Caligula. Amuse me! Amuse me! You know, for God's sake, get off of that, Bush and Blair. You're supposed to be men. You walk around trying to act macho. The cat is out of the bag, so to speak. Everybody knows what this is, even if this Harper's Bazaar knows it. And it's all over the place. It's like you're attempting to exalt. You're exalting homosexuality. Okay, then go ahead.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
You're not going there. The only other place to go is to the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate.
Effeminate. Okay. All the guys that belong to the Me Oh My Club. Okay, then what?
Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Unquote. The definition of abomination is God's feeling of extreme disgust, hatred, abhorrence, detestation, and loathing. It is that which is abominable, hateful, wicked, or shamefully vile, such as extreme sin.
Okay, so there's more to this piece of literature. We'll read more of it in the next program because there's so many other things that I want to cover. There's so much evil in this world that it takes, you know, so many messages. I mean, you'd think that after doing thousands of messages that I'd be through with you. But I can't be because there's so much. Okay, now, Lydia, come over here and read some of these responses, please.
This is from Vista, California.
Vista, okay, that means view. Then what?
A 94-year-old man called from Vista, California. He wanted to let you know that he backs you up 100% on the literature. He said, this needs to be read by all. It gives them a last chance to know God and repent.
Okay, where's the next one from?
This is from the Chicago. A man
from
called
the Chicago.
I was going to say Chicago
all
area.
Right, where?
A man called who read your literature from the Chicago Tribune. He was so moved by what you had to say. He has never heard of such preaching in his life. He was happy that you took time and money to let everyone know in his area about salvation. He is requesting the Messiah book and literature. He said, a mighty amen to you.
So a lot of people think we're just loaded with money because we're doing this. No, what it is I want a Beatles album, but I won't sell it for anything to prove to the people in the world that I'm not in the ministry for money. If I wanted money, I would leave the ministry and start selling this Beatles album that I've had for 42 years now. Actually, for 2 years before that, 44 years, because I got it from Pete Best of the Beatles, the original drummer. Pete Best was a rich Beatle and recorded 6 albums, and he said if I did the promotion for him, he'd give me one of the Beatles albums, and I've owned it. And, you know, a lot of people try to say, you're just in this for the money. No, I'm not. There's no money in the ministry. I mean, every penny that comes in, we have to spend it on the ministry, okay?
Amen.
Because if you saw, you know, the way I dress, I mean, I dress in sweatpants and a T-shirt and some old sweater all day long. I'm not, and I eat very small amounts of food and very plain food, like eggs. And, I don't even eat steaks, no beef or dairy products, anything like that. Because the Lord warned me about them. And this is where, and since everyone in the church decided to follow me in that, I didn't force them, but since they do not, we've had Firstly, no sicknesses hardly. There's hardly any sickness at all. Everybody in the different churches, the children used to get sick, but now they're well. Okay, and then what else? We have to follow what the Lord says. Then what?
Pastor Tony, when I was talking to a gentleman from Pitney Bowes, he was interested in calling our witnessing line because of the things I was telling him about the end times. He was from India and wanted the literature for his friends. When he asked what ministry, and I told him Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, I barely got the title out before he said, I've heard of him, and he's doing a wonderful job all over the world.
Okay, this was in India. It's amazing. Some of these people, you know, you're trying to order something, and you can't hardly understand what they're saying. You say, where are you at? They say, India, or some other country, and even in China, you know, you... Why are they doing that? Well, it's because you can get the calls answered quickly and cheaper there, but you just wonder if they're knowing what you're saying. Okay, then what else?
And from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, it was really wonderful to read your gospel literature with the title Difficult Mountain. I was really blessed. God is surely more than able to move mountains in our lives, Brother Lamo. I thank God for your ministry. You are truly a blessing in my life. You came with an impact to bless us, too, with your word. It's from Mercy in Chapata, Zambia, Africa.
Okay. Have you got more?
Yes, there's more.
We have thousands of them, but we were only able to read between 3 and 7, something like that, a day. What is that?
Okay. Bertha, Rosa Parrish's sister, thanks Pastor Lamo and the brothers and sisters for their prayers. Bertha went to the doctor and was retested. The doctor said Bertha does not have cancer anymore. She praises and thanks the Lord for her healing. She also is really grateful to Pastor Tony and the church for their prayers. Praise the Lord.
Right, there's people that we're going to go to get prayed for. They're on the they're going into the operating table and the doctors check them, and there's no cancer. They say, we're not going to operate on you. The cancer's gone. Okay, and so this is the typical thing that goes on over here. And it's a miracle, but we're so used to it that a lot of people over here don't realize the impact on it. But it is a real impact to somebody that does have cancer and they get healed from it, you know, or any dreaded disease. And so, you know, if you need a healing, we don't make any big deal out of it because these signs shall follow those that believe. And I know I believe, and there's a lot of people in this church that believe. So call us if you need a healing. Okay, and what else?
From Northfield, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to hear that you have bombs falling all around you, a good sign that you are right on target. Those who serve their god Satan surely hate anyone who exposes their system. Since their time is very short, they are truly becoming desperate. It's from John in Northfield, Minnesota.
Okay, we are constantly getting all kinds of slander and hateful things being done to us. That comes with the territory. The Lord said that these things would happen to those that love Him and keep His commandments. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And, we've had our share, but there are people I know that have been persecuted even more than us, the people in China and in some of those Arabic nations when they get into like Pakistan and Arabic countries where the Muslims are, when they get saved, and the Muslims, they are Vatican-powered Muslims. This church, the Muslims, was raised up out of Catholicism, and the Vatican, the Catholic cult, uses the Muslims to do the Vatican's dirty work. They always use somebody to frighten the wits out of you. The media tells you China's going to get us, the commies are going to get us. They change from one bunch of people to the other. China's going to get us. And then some guy like Nixon goes over there and straightens everything out because they pick somebody else, like the Koreans that are now the devil. And then before that it was the Japs that were the devils, or the Germans that were the devils. And now it's Christians are the devils. Oh, yeah, we're the devils. And Vatican is nice, the ones that have slaughtered hundreds of millions of people down through the ages. They're not Christians. They're the biggest enemy that a Christian could ever possibly have. And they're the biggest enemy that anyone could possibly have. They are the most... The Lord tells us that that's... The city of the seven mountains is where the Antichrist sits, where Satan sits. That's Satan's seat there. And he runs the government, which the Bible calls the beast, and the mouth of the beast, which is a major media. Now, there's some small town media that is still okay, but the major media, the media in the whole, are the mouth of Satan. Because they exalt the Vatican, and we have Roman canon law here that shows us that the Vatican has been setting this stuff up for years. They created this democracy many years ago, and they realized that if you put the mob in charge, they feel that the mob is a bunch of cattle. They don't have any more brains than a cow. And we can con them into rising up against Christianity, the devil says, and we can put Christianity down. But now that it's the end of time, the Lord is, the devil has made war against the saints and against God, against his tabernacle and those that dwell in heaven. And now the Lord is making war against Satan and his cult. But, you know, our weapon is not a carnal weapon. It happens to be the Word of God, which is the sword of God, which is the breath of God. His Word is spirit in God's life. And he's coming back to earth again, Jesus is, to destroy Satan with the breath of his mouth, the spirit of God, which is the Word. He says, "The word I speak unto you is spirit and life, the words I speak." And the Lord says, "I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," which means the entire Word of God, "and thou shalt be saved." The Word of God is Jesus. John says that, and also the book of Revelation tells you that Jesus is the Word of God. And so believe on the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Not only believe it, but do what it says. God knows that you believe if you do. Jesus said, "Those who say they believe in me and don't do what I say are liars, and the truth is not in them." Well, how do we know what to do? Well, I've been telling you, read the book of Proverbs. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read Acts. Read Romans, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Read the New Testament. Read Revelation. We're going through the book of Revelation quite a bit lately. And then you'll see. Walk. The main thing is that when you read the Bible, the 8th chapter of Romans, there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So walk in the Holy Spirit. In other words, that means walk in the Word of God. Do what the Word of God says. And pray always. And read, study the Word of God. Well, we're going to read a little bit from the 4th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And this, the 4th chapter says, "Get wisdom. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. And give attention to know understanding." Verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine." In other words, the Lord is saying that he gives the Bible, the Word of God gives you good doctrine. "Do not forsake my law." Now, a lot of people say that the law is over with, but Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law." The law, the Ten Commandments, and there's even more law in the New Testament, says that we're supposed to be living after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, the law says that if you commit adultery, you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. But the New Testament, Jesus says, if you even look upon a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Verse 3, when I was my father's son. Okay, now the Lord has instructed me to tell you. You say, how can we stay away from lusting? Well, you need the Spirit of the Lord in your body, in your spirit, in order to stop from lusting, because when the Spirit of God enters into you, it mortifies the deeds of the flesh. In other words, it kills your desire for the lusts of this world. Lord says, love not this world, because all that is in the world are lusts, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so when the Spirit of God enters into you, you can live a perfect life. Don't believe these false teachers today that tell you that no one is perfect. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you're perfect. Now the world looks at you and you look the same, but the Spirit of God is in you, giving you the power to be able to keep the commandments. Now verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. This is talking about the mother is supposed to be your wisdom and your understanding, but God is your father, the Word of God. Now verse 4, he also taught me. In other words, the Word of God taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. That's where a lot of people get into it. There's a big falling away today, and we need to retain the words of God, because his word is spirit and life. And when you're reading and absorbing it into your mind and into your spirit, your soul, then you're able to keep the commandments. So he says, verse 4, the end of that verse, the B part of verse 4 says, keep my commandments and live. And he's talking about live eternally. You don't, you're going to die eternally. And that means you're going to still be alive. Your spirit never dies, but it's going to die and die and die throughout eternity, screaming your head off. Now, verse 5, the book of Proverbs exalts wisdom. And so verse 5 says, get wisdom. And there's an exclamation mark right after wisdom. Get wisdom. In other words, what is wisdom? That means the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. What that means is you're to fear becoming a homosexual because you know God's going to burn you. Actually, you're burning yourself. You're just calling down condemnation on yourself. So get wisdom. Get the fear to break any of the commandments. That's what that means, because God is not a liar. There's three things he can't do, and that's lie, die, and fail. So get wisdom with an exclamation mark there. Get understanding with another exclamation mark. Understand what the scriptures mean. There's no private interpretation of the Bible. It means exactly what it says. If God says that if you don't fear God, you won't keep his commandments. And if you don't keep his commandments, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, because the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And don't have any idols in front of you. Even Jesus even said, if anyone loves father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife, husband, anybody more than me, they're not worthy of me. And you're not going to heaven. So if you put God first, if you exalt Christ, then Christ will save your loved ones. He doesn't want your loved ones to go to hell, but you have to make them know that they have to keep the commandments of the Lord. And if they don't, then you have to turn your back on them. I mean, that's all there is to it. Now, so get wisdom, get understanding, both exclamation marks. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, which are actually the words of life. Do not forsake her. You know, what? Her. Who's her? Wisdom, the fear of God, the holy duty of man. fear God, keep His commandments, because it's your life, your eternal life. So don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Verse 7. Wisdom is the very principal thing. Semicolon. Therefore, get wisdom. Get the fear of God. The fear to not keep His commandments. Because God, just like He set the sun, moon, and stars in order, and you can predict when the tide's coming in and when the fish are going to be the best, or where you can fish the best, and where you can guide your ship according to the stars. Well, He also said, here's His commandments. Keep them. Be fearful to not keep them, because that will be wisdom for you. And be sure that you're born again of the Spirit, because Jesus said you must be born again. He told that to rulers, to moms, dads, sons, daughters, everybody, grandmothers and grandfathers, everyone must be born again, or you in no wise can enter the kingdom of heaven. He never tells you to join a religion. He tells you to get saved, be born again of the Spirit. Religions cannot save your soul, only the Lord. And in all your getting, get understanding. Do everything in your power to get into the kingdom of heaven. Exalt wisdom and knowledge, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. Oh, when you embrace her. A lot of people seek all kinds of, you know, they read all kinds of thinking, grow rich books and so on, all this just to make money. But when you do the things that the Lord says, when you fear the Word of God to keep it so that you don't wind up in hell in the lake of fire, well, God will promote you. And there's no better promoter in the whole universe than the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I see that we've run out of time again, but make sure there was so much. I want to continue on with the Roman canon law and compare it with the Bible. But right now, with the few minutes that we have here, I'd say, you know, get wisdom. The main thing is to get born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Fear what the Lord says. If you're not born again, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. So get saved now. Get wisdom. Fear that you could die tonight. You know, one thing for sure is we're all guaranteed that we're going to die. No one has a guarantee that you're going to live more than another minute from now. So say this prayer and get right and have the wisdom to know that you better do it. There's no other way out. Because everyone has to face God. Say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I open up the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me. You said, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I call upon You, Lord, say that, and therefore I know You've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, tell them four ways that they can get a copy of program number 273. And when you're saying, I'd like to have a copy of some message that you did a while ago, you still have to give us the number because there's no other way that we can identify the tape or CD. Okay, Sharon, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, I'm going to have Elvis Presley's favorite singing group, the Golden Gate Quartet, sing again here. So until tomorrow, this is World Pastor saying God bless you and praise the Lord, and make sure you tune in and get some of your friends and even your enemies to tune in so they can get saved, and then they'll be your friends. Golden Gate Quartet singing, You Better Run.
Well, now, you better run.
Run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, I say.
Somebody's calling you. I feel like my time ain't long. Well, you better run.
Run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, I say.
Somebody's calling you. I feel like my time ain't long. Time ain't long. Time ain't long.
Well, now goodbye, false pretender. Lord, I cannot wait for you. 'Cause the Bible declares you a hinder. Man, and what the Bible declares is true.
Well, you better run.
Run, run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, run, I say.
Somebody's calling you. I feel like my time ain't long. Time ain't long. Time ain't long.
Well, I saw one false pretender. Well, his head was bending low. Then I saw him again in the evening. Lord, he was walking down the downward road.
Well, you better run.
Run, run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, run, I say.
Somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run, run, I say.
Somebody's calling you. I feel like my time ain't long. Time ain't long.
Low, low, low. Well, you Sunday when the preacher was preaching, draw the valley wall was about to shout. The valley asked for a little collection, brother, and you had your mouth full.
Well, well, well,
somebody's calling you,
I feel like my time ain't long, time ain't long.